Now I'm getting crushed for having faith that the Steelers can beat the Ravens on Sunday night. Text line blowing up. Brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm. They always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. I said Sunday night amounts to a playoff game, and I don't really buy into 3-5 Lamar Jackson in playoff games, and I don't buy into John Harbaugh in playoff games, and fans are rightfully pointing out that if it's a playoff game, we shouldn't have a lot of faith in Mike Tomlin. That's fair. Of course you're right. That being said, I think the fact that Harbaugh hasn't won multiple playoff games in a single Lamar Jackson year is just as big of a black mark on him as it is that Tomlin hasn't won a playoff game in 8 years. Like, winning a playoff game with a two-time MVP, that's nowhere close to good enough. So I think it's the Spider-Man meme. I think it's Harbaugh and Tomlin looking in the mirror, and when they look in, the other guy's looking back at him. And I'll take Tomlin over Harbaugh because Tomlin's been better than Harbaugh against Harbaugh in their career. Harbaugh, 5 games under .500 against Tomlin. Let's talk to Chris Carter now, our buddy from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, also the Locked On Steelers podcast for his weekly matchup segment. Carter, what's up, buddy? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Adam. How are we doing today?
We are great. Big one on Sunday, baby. It's for all the marbles. And we'll start here because you were asking Aaron Rodgers about this, whatever day that was earlier this week, about him really not stringing together back-to-back poor performances. Do you think we get the bounce back from Rodgers on Sunday?
I think we see it. I think we see him play better. I don't know if we'll see him play, you know, at his highest, because this will be the first time he's had to bounce back without DK Metcalf. But, you know, when I asked him that question, I went into it knowing that, like, in his career, he doesn't have too many back-to-back games in his history where he was really bad one Sunday and then really bad the next Sunday. And I pointed it out because there were four times now when he's had his passer rating under 70 with the Steelers, and each time he's bounced back with it jumping either into the 90s or into the 100s the next week. And it happened with the Seahawks game. The next game they beat the Patriots. He has a 96.1 passer rating. It happened with the Chargers game. He bounces back with 106.5 against the Bengals. It happened against the Bills with a 65 rating. That next week was the first time they played the Ravens. They beat them. He beat them and with 103.1 rating. And now you have the Browns game with a 64.9 rating. So now you have a chance to bounce back and at home and against the defense that he's faced before, and against the defense that I don't think is playing too well this year. But the thing is now he's missing the guy that he shredded the defense with the last time they went. DK Metcalf had 148 yards. I mean, that first play of the game last time they faced was a 52-yard bomb to Metcalf, and that shocked the Ravens. They were like, oh, wait, they can do that this year? Crap, that's a problem. And so that's going to be the challenge, is can he still scare the Ravens at different parts of the field to open up the inside, the mid of the field passing, open up the run game, open up the quick passes, short. If he can hit that once or twice in this game, I think it shocks the Ravens again, and it puts them on skates.
What do you think in that 60 minutes of crap we saw against the Browns, they actually did well offensively that could be transferable into this game? And how would you deploy your personnel at the wide receiver position with the addition, we're hopeful, of Calvin Austin?
I think Calvin plays. I think he'll be active. I would make active Roman Wilson this week. I know he's been in the doghouse, and I would actually try to use him, if not for anything else, to stretch the field horizontally and vertically. I'm running a lot of slants. I'm running a lot of crossers. I'm running a lot of go routes. I'm saying, hey, you have that 4.3 speed. We're gonna make it so that if they don't cover you, it's a quick. It's just a flick of the wrist for Aaron Rodgers, and then it's a lot of yak for you. And so that's the position I put him in. But then I put my technical route running on Pat Freiermuth, on Adam Thielen, on those guys that I trust, even Scotty Miller, because I do think Scotty Miller's been really good in the pinches that he's been asked to play in. But try to put those guys in the spots where you think you're going to find weaknesses in the Ravens defense. I think there were things that they did well against the Browns that just didn't get to blow up enough. Like, when they were able to run the ball when they did, you know, Jalen Warren averaged over 5 yards per carry. Remember, they couldn't run the ball for much against the Ravens the last time. If they were able to run the ball and get things going, if they can get over 100 yards rushing and they can make it so that the Ravens don't outrush them by almost 200 yards like they did last time, that can make up for not having DK Metcalf. So do those things. Get the ball to your playmakers in places where they have the advantage. I think Pat Freiermuth could be a real matchup problem with the Ravens this week. That he has to actually, you know, get targeted, which has been a problem all season long. But if they can get that going, the run game going, and the defense does what it's supposed to against the run against the Ravens run, that can put this game in the Steelers' favor.
Chris Carter, the Post-Gazette, joining us here on the Fan Morning Show on the Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. You could also hear Chris on the Locked On Steelers podcast. If I told you right now that Derrick Henry would have 25 carries for 94 yards, that's what he had the first matchup, do you take that?
Mm-hmm. Yes, because that means he didn't get 100. And in the 7 times that they have played Derrick Henry, whether it's the Titans or the Ravens, they are 5-0 when he's kept under 100. They're 0-2 when he gets over 100.
Chris, so, I mean, how about that right there, baby? A little soft toss, and you just cranked it right out of the park.
Damn, that's what we do here, baby.
A little alley-oop action.
Yes, sir.
What did they do? Which one? I guess I'd be Dwayne?
Yes. Yeah, you would be.
Yeah, good. Okay, very good. What do you think the Steelers do schematically to slow down Henry in this game? And how does the inclusion now of Lamar Jackson maybe change what they otherwise would have done if it were Snoop, if at all?
I don't think it changes that much. I think the emphasis for this defense has to be, you will not run the ball with Henry. You will not succeed with the option run. If you're going to beat us, it is going to be Lamar Jackson, or it would have been, you know, Snoop Hudley, completing passes to Zay Flowers against Joey Porter Jr., to Mark Andrews and Isaiah Likely against Patrick Queen, Jalen Ramsey, Kyle Duggar, and a mix of defenders that we're going to make it harder for you to do. And we're going to be sending T.J. Watt, who I think will play for this game. I will see if he gets the official nod at the end of practice today. But I think you'll see T.J. Watt, Nick Herbig, Alex Highsmith, who has been playing very well, 7 sacks since week 9. And even Jack Sawyer, he's played really well. I think you'll see heat from them. I think having Derek Harmon, who they didn't have in the first matchup, is huge. As I noted earlier this week, everyone's been talking about Derek Harmon in the games he's played. But even in the snaps, with accounting like plays where he just takes a break in the games that he's played, they go from being the 25th best run defense in the NFL when he's not on the field to the first. They allow 3.54 rushing yards per play. When Derek Harmon is on the field, no one has a better rate than that. And that's where I think that the things can be different, is that Derek Harmon, Cam Hayward, and then Benton Black, Harrison, Queen, all those guys in the middle, plus a fully loaded edge group, that could be what you count upon to win there. But I think something else that's going to be huge here is something that Terrell Austin pointed out weeks ago that they've been better at. And it's something that the Bills exposed in them. It's called crack replacement. So when a crack block from a wide receiver is when they crash down on an inside player and they like smush down either a slot cornerback or a outside linebacker or a safety. And then it puts the emphasis on another player on the outside to come down and defend the edge. And that's something they did not do well for several weeks in the middle of the season. I think the Packers exposed them there. I think the Bills exposed them there. I think the Ravens did a little bit the first time. But since then, they have been very sharp at that. And I asked Joey Porter Jr. about that yesterday, and he said that's all plays into how much more technically sound his defense has been. That's all those factors play a big role. But you do those things, they can keep this run game in check. I think this run defense has truly taken a turn. In the last 3 weeks, no team has allowed fewer yards per play, or fewer rushing yards than the Pittsburgh Steelers defense, and they're the only defense in the NFL to not allow a rushing touchdown in the last 3 weeks.
It sounds to me like you got a little bit more faith in the Steelers defense in this matchup than the offense.
I do. I honestly think this is going to be a rock fight. I think this is going to come down to an old school Ravens Steelers physical, cold matchup, guys hitting each other, guys getting hurt, big hits. And it's funny, Joey Porter Jr. said the first time he can remember the Steelers-Ravens rivalry as a kid was when Ryan Clark was knocking guys out. And, of course, there's the big hit he had on Willis McGahee in the AFC Championship game back in 2008-2009 on their way to winning the Super Bowl that year. I think this is that kind of a game. I think there's big hits. I think there's running the ball. I think there's big plays. But also, if the Steelers are going to win, they'll need something else to happen that game. They're going to need a defensive touchdown. They're going to need a Troy Polamalu-like pick six. You know, whether it's a pick six, whether it's a strip fumble return for a touchdown, I think this defense needs to put up points this week, because I do think the offense, the Ravens defense is not the Browns defense. They rank 30th in sacks. They're terrible at pressuring the quarterback, and that's something that Aaron Rodgers can use to his advantage. But without DK Metcalf, they're still going to have their struggles. This has to be a week where the Steelers get some big plays on offense, but also I think a big play, a scoring play on defense, or a play that sets them up like inside the 10 on offense. So they need some splash.
Do you think that Echols is going to play in the game?
I get the sense, yeah. Okay. I talked to him yesterday. He seemed very confident. Joey Porter seemed excited about having him back. So I do think Echols play. And I do think that also plays a big role, because that will allow Jalen Ramsey to be back in the safety position. And Echols can also help against the tight ends. So I think the thumbnail for my Locked On Steelers episode this week today is all hands on deck, because they need them all. They need everybody to pitch in to stop this Ravens attack. To make big plays and to flip this game in their favor. They're underdogs, according to Vegas. And I think that's justified when you see how the offense played last week and you see what the Ravens did with their rushing attack. And I mean, here's the other thing, Adam. This is, to me, a gut check for the Steelers, because the whole reason why they took the path they did in the offseason, drafting Derek Harmon, drafting Y.A. Black, signing guys like Malik Harrison, you know, emphasizing what they did all year, it's been to stop the run, and it's been to stop the Ravens. And they were able to win while still the Ravens rushing for over 200 yards last time. But this needs to be the final check here, where it's like, hey, we've made the steps forward. We've come a long ways. Now let's prove it against the team that knocked us out last year, and let's return the favor and knock them out this year. That has to be the test for the Steelers this week. And I think if they pass this test, it goes a long way, you know, not even just for this year, but moving forward, saying, hey, this organization is figuring some things out.
Last thing here for you, Chris, with Watt expected to play, I mean, you think it's a straight four-man kind of rotation? Like, how do you think they're going to go about his snap count?
I think Watt still gets a bulk of the share, but I do think that I think that Sawyer and Herbig have shown against the run and the pass that they can both be reliable. So I think what you might see is less reluctance to take either off to give these guys, the top guys, a break. I think you're going to see, hey, TJ, come off, get stay fresh. I think they want one thing that Dick LeBeau used to say, and then Keith Butler used to say, was that he wanted his guys the freshest right around the turn of the third to the fourth quarter. He wanted them to be ready to go in that moment, because that's when the game is often won. And so I think what the Steelers do is, you know, one, the offense tries to possess the ball so the defense doesn't get tired out. And two, I think that they try to rotate these guys as much as possible so that come fourth quarter, TJ Watt is fresh. He feels ready. He's attacking. And same thing for Alex Highsmith. And then when Herbig and Sawyer get in there, they're also fresh, and they keep these guys good. So I do think there's a decent rotation. I don't think that they just leave TJ and Alex out there. They'll still get the bulk of the share. I'd say like the split might be like 75-25 or 70-30. I think that'll be the kind of shit snaps. But it won't be like 80-20 or 90-10 in the percentage swaps. I think that they keep these guys fresh. And who knows, maybe that's the time of the game where this outside linebacker group makes the splash play. We've seen them do it a lot. Alex Highsmith ended the game against the Ravens. Jack Sawyer has two interceptions this season. Nick Herbig's made some plays. Maybe that's the time when this group strikes because they're fresh late in the game.
Chris, this was very good, buddy, as it always is. We love doing these weekly matchup segments with you. Hopefully we'll get to do another one next Friday, man.
That would be fun if we do get to do one next week. The first time the Steelers have hosted a playoff game since the 2020-2021 season.
That's exactly right. Chris, be well, man. Happy New Year, and we'll talk to you hopefully next Friday.
There you go. Happy New Year, Adam.
See you, buddy. That's the great Chris Carter, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, and the Locked On Steelers podcast. I think he hit on something there at the end that's massive. Time of possession in this one. Huge. Huge. Steelers were 3 of 15, for God's sakes, last week on third down. You do that in this game, you're not on the field enough. Henry's going to get going. Henry's going to crush you in the fourth quarter. The offense has to stay on the field. We'll get more to T.J. Watt coming up next. What I'm about to do to Watt's going to sound unfair, but I don't think it is.
I'm assuming since T.J. practiced last week that he's been cleared at least to do that.
Again, he's coming off of a medical circumstance different than the injury circumstance, and so certainly he has a certain level of health, but we want to be cautious about how we work him back into the fold, and certainly he's done appropriate things in that area as well. And as I mentioned last week, I'm sure you guys will be hearing from him sooner rather than later, directly.
Do you consider using him situationally, or does he need to be back to be a full-time starter?
I'm open to utilizing him in any way that's appropriate relative to his availability.
Mike, does he need to practice fully multiple days this week to be able to go on Sunday?
Practice participation certainly would be more comforting in terms of making the decision, given he's coming back from a medical circumstance.
How would you describe his level of football shape?
I doubt that TJ is ever out of football shape or conditioning over the course of a 12-month calendar. I just know how he lives his life and how he prepares and how thoughtful he is in terms of what he puts in his body and how he trains. And so I don't imagine that component of it being a major concern.
Mike Tomlin on Tuesday talking about TJ Watt. I have a TJ Watt take to run by you in just a moment. But coming up in about 13 minutes, if you really want to see Tomlin get fired, then the Steelers must win the game on Sunday. I'll tell you why. So that's coming up in about 13 minutes. This might sound unfair to TJ Watt, because, you know, his lung got stabbed by somebody he trusts, like he's damn Julius Caesar. But if he plays, he needs to have a legacy game. I know he's coming off of something, dealing with something that no player should ever have to deal with. Like, there are things you expect. A concussion, that sucks, but you know what you're signing up for when you play football. You break your leg, you tear an ACL, you get a dislocated shoulder, you bust a pec. Not that I have pecs. You tear a triceps, you twist an ankle, you get a Liz Frank. All these things, they happen. It sucks, but they happen. This is totally different. But the way I see it, if you're going to play, then you're healthy enough to play, and injury can't be an excuse. Now, if Aaron Rodgers' wrist was hurting more this week than it was last week because he slept on it funny, that's not an excuse to me if he plays in the football game. Like, Lamar Jackson isn't going to get a pass, I wouldn't think, from Ravens fans if he plays in this game, and he's expected to, if he plays poorly. If you're healthy enough to play, then you need to play up to your potential. This needs to be a legacy game for TJ Watt. We heard Chris Carter say in the last segment, and I thought it was an astute point by him, this is really a full circle moment. Last year against the Baltimore Ravens, the Steelers got embarrassed, and Kirk Herbstreit said for the entire world to hear that the Steelers were kind of laying down, that they weren't fighting back. And the Steelers spent all offseason trying to find out how to stop the run. You draft Derek Harmon, and you bring in Malik Harrison, and blah, 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 Y.A. Black, things of that nature. Well, this is a full circle moment for T.J. Watt, who had one of the absolute worst games of his career last season against the Baltimore Ravens in that playoff game. No sacks, no tackles, no passes defensed, no forced fumbles, no fumble recoveries. Nothing. Not a single assisted tackle. TJ Watt played and had the same stat line as me and intern Dom. Not a zilch bupkis. If he's out there, He needs to atone. He needs to make up for that total and complete no-show from last year. For those of us who were okay, not excited, but okay about TJ Watt getting the contract that he got this offseason, this is where you make your money right here. It's not his fault he missed the last couple of games. It's not. You can't blame the guy for that. I mean, even if it's his own personal dry needler, you still can't put it on him that he got stabbed in the stankin' lung. But if he's back, then you need his best possible performance. He needs to be at his best. I think that's fair, do you? 412-928-9370. He might be on a rotation. It might be 25 snaps. Who knows? Tomlin talked around it. Chris thinks if he plays, he's going to play a lot. I don't know that to be the case. But whatever he provides, however much he's on the field, he needs to look like prime TJ Watt when he's out there. I'm not sure how the conditioning is going to affect him. I mean, his lung can't be 100%. But I wouldn't think that that would affect his effort play to play. I think that would just affect how much he's out there. When he's out there, the rest of him should feel great because he hasn't been taking abuse the last 3 weeks. This is a legacy game for Watt, who has played in 4 playoff games in his career and has just 1 sack and 8 tackles to show for it. TJ Watt, a guy who currently is tied with Michael Strahan for the most sacks in a single season in the history of the league. His 17-game average in the postseason, if you extrapolated it out, 4.3 sacks. That's how bad this guy's been in the postseason. This isn't a postseason game, but if you don't win it, there is no postseason. So for me, it's a legacy game. The narrative on Watt is he comes up small in the biggest moments. When he's out there, he needs to come up big on Sunday. Has to. I will not hear excuses on his behalf. I think he deserves to be commended if he plays. Because I'm a chicken bleep. I wouldn't. We're talking about my lung, for God's sake. I wouldn't play again until next year. I will pat him on the back for playing. But if you play, you got to play well. Injuries can't be an excuse. When he played the first time against Baltimore, he was a difference maker this year. Obviously, again, not in the playoff game. The Ravens gained just 31 yards on 11 carries at TJ Watt in the first matchup. That's only 2.8 yards per carry. This from Matt Williamson of Steelers.com. On the 18 runs to the opposite side of Watt, Baltimore gained 125 yards on 18 rushes. That's 7 yards a carry. When they run at Watt again, he got to shut him down. And when Lamar drops back to pass, he's got to feel his presence. You've got to get the best from Watt. And if you don't, I think it's another choke job by the guy. I can't let the lung be an excuse if he's healthy enough to play. Fair or unfair? 412-928-9370. Fair or unfair, Mr. Intern Dom?
To be honest, I think it's unfair. Now, I am not a big TJ Watt fan. I thought they should have traded him in the offseason. He's aging, bad playoffs, the whole deal. But I think that getting a punctured lung gives you some sort of a reprieve if he does tough it out and goes out there and plays. Because even if he plays poorly, I think just his presence out there is enough to lift the team and lift morale just a little bit.
See,
so he has to atone. Who are you, the High Sparrow from Game of Thrones? He doesn't have to atone for anything.
He has to atone, or else shame. And he'll have to walk through the North Shore nude while people throw feces at him. Okay, I won't go that far. I think the morale thing's legit. It happened earlier this season when Jalen Ramsey came back. And Rodgers talked about it after the game, and anybody who got a microphone in front of him, save for Jalen Ramsey, talked about what it meant that the guy was willing to gut it out. That part I don't disagree with. I think that's an emotional lift. But if that's all he is, you'd be better off having Herbig play. Who's going to be back? You need, if you play, to be productive. It can't be after the game. We open up the phone lines on Monday, and he's has a zero stat line, and people are calling and going, well, I can't blame TJ for the loss because of his lung. No, you play, you can't go over. You can't. You got to make an impact. If you're not going to make an impact, don't play. Because here's the thing. It's tough on the coaches now. If he's playing and playing poorly, can you really bench his ass?
Yes. Absolutely. You say, hey, TJ, listen, you're not playing well. Clearly, you're not 100%. We're sitting you.
I'll rephrase it because you answered it the way you should have. You think Tomlin would really do that? I don't.
No.
I don't. Now, the way that that would happen or could happen is if going into the game, they say, TJ, you're playing 30% of the snaps or something. You have a predetermined snap count. And if that's the case, I'm probably trying to use most of that in the fourth quarter. Could you imagine that? I've been negative this segment regarding TJ, but could you imagine if the opposite is true? That it's, hey, where's TJ been? Oh, TJ's supposed to play. Then bang, fourth quarter, just when Derrick Henry starts to get going, just when the defense is fatigued, here comes 90. Bang! One thing to watch with Henry, we talked about Harbaugh outthinking himself. We've talked about how Harbaugh will get away from Derrick Henry when it makes absolutely no sense to get away from Derrick Henry. One of the things that has happened this year more than any other in his career is he'll fumble that football now. And when he does, he's not the same player. And when he does, I think it gives Harbaugh the heebie-jeebies. So keep an eye on that. Does TJ Watt need to have a legacy game? If he doesn't, are you okay using the lung thing as an excuse? I am not. 412-928-9370. Your calls on this coming up next. I've said if Watt plays, he needs to have a legacy game. One sack in four career playoff games, that's good for just four sacks over the course of a full 17-game season if you extrapolate it out. And this amounts to a playoff game. You need his best. I don't care that his lung got punctured. Well, I'll rephrase that. Of course I do. I didn't want to see that happen. It's unforgivable that it did, and I'm happy that he's fully recovered. But because he's recovered enough to play, he needs to play well. Texters writing in and agreeing with me for a change, Dom. Watt having a good game helps, obviously, but the offense will be the issue Sunday night. Well, I think Rodgers is going to play well. Will he get help from the cast of characters around him? We'll see. Texter, TJ doesn't need to set records in this game, but he needs to do something that makes us say TJ was hurt and still did XYZ. Agree with you. That's a good way of saying it. After the game, we need to go, you know what? Watt played through it, and you know what? He made this play. He made that play. He deflected a pass in a key situation, or he got out on a two-point conversion that Mark Andrews dropped, something like that. Texter, if TJ can't play, he can't play, but if he steps on that field for what he's being paid, he has to have a legacy game. Exactly right. Thank you. Your thoughts at 412-928-9370. Now for the humdinger tank. Are you ready for this one? You ready for this, Dom?
Yes.
I'm excited about this one. And I think I'm 1,000% right. I never say things I think are wrong. If you want to see Tomlin get fired, I really don't think anything that can happen the rest of this season is going to get you there. But the only thing that gives them a chance, I think, is if they win this game. And here's why. If you lose, Art Rooney II is going to be sitting there for his end-of-year press conference with the assembled Bob Pompeianis and Jeff Hathorns of the world. And he's going to say, we had the playoffs in our sights, but we didn't have DK Metcalf and we didn't have TJ Watt. And that's why we didn't make the postseason. But if you win on Sunday and you lose with DK Metcalf and TJ Watt, well, that excuse goes out the window. There's no way to polish the turd if you're Art Rooney II if you win this game and then lose, all systems go, fully armed and operational battle station in the playoff game. Last year it was all the schedule. It killed us 3 games in 11 days, and George Pickens was hurt, and my God, the secondary was banged up and in disarray. The NFL did us no favors. That's what happened there. This year, you don't make the playoffs. Oh, no TJ Watt for one out of the two potential clinching games. No DK Metcalf. That's why he was worth all that money. You win, there's no such excuses if you're healthy enough. And I don't think Art, if they lose a playoff game, would sink so low that he would say, well, without Darnell Washington, you can't win a playoff game. What do you think about that take, Dom?
It's a hot take. I like it.
Yeah.
I disagree with it.
Oh.
But it's a hot take, and I like it. I mean, sure, if they lose, you have the DK excuse, you have the Watt excuse. I don't know. You make the playoffs, I think that trumps everything. Especially if you have to play Houston, who I think is maybe the most dangerous team in the NFL right now.
I agree with you on Houston.
I think just getting into
the postseason, nightmare matchup.
Even if it is the Monday night game, which I think it will be if they make the playoffs. Yeah, I'm not buying what you're selling.
What makes you think it'd be the Monday night game?
Well, Scott Van Pelt, who had a great New Year's, he made a comment after the Dolphins game where he said if the Steelers get a home playoff game, he expects ESPN to try and get it as the Monday night game.
That would actually, now we're getting ahead of ourselves, but that's fine. That would actually help the Steelers big time. Because I feel like their chances of winning a playoff game, as low as they may always have been, they took a significant nosedive now that they weren't able to rest a bunch of guys this week. Usually when the Steelers and Ravens play, it's going to be as physical as the game can be in modern times. And you're not going to fare as well the following week, particularly if you're playing late on Sunday and you'd have to play on a Saturday, which is possible, or the following Sunday. If they played on Monday night, that might be the best thing for their chances. Night game, Acrisure Stadium. And by the way, the Steelers haven't lost a Monday night football game in my lifetime. Certainly not Dom's lifetime. 412-928-9370. Texter, Crowley, you can walk with this corny rah-rah bleep. There's no hope with Tomlin in charge. This team has no hope. This level of radio, disingenuous take pandering. No, I just have more faith in Tomlin than I do Harbaugh. And I think that Lamar Jackson's hurt. I'm not sitting here thinking the Steelers are going to win a playoff game. I think their best chance would be a Monday night football game. They don't lose at home on Mondays. But apart from that, no, I don't think this is a great team. I just don't think the Ravens are good. You already beat them on the road at Baltimore. Yes, you had DK Metcalf, and he was instrumental in that game. But you're getting Watt back. Lamar is compromised. Hasn't been the same player. 4 touchdowns and 5 picks since week 10. So what you guys are hearing, some of you anyhow, is, oh, Crowley's got faith in the Steelers. No, I just think I've got less in Harbaugh and Lamar. That's all. 412-928-9370. Let's go to Greg in Glenshaw. Hi, Greg.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good, man.
Hey, just to throw it out there, I've heard all these opinions. How about officiating? Is that an issue or a potential issue?
Yeah, but you can't predict who's going to get screwed. I can predict that someone will get screwed, but I don't know who.
Yeah, I just thought I'd throw 2 cents out there and bring up the officiating that nobody seemed to talk about recently.
Well, I just don't know how you handicap something like that, Greg, and I appreciate the call. I mean, I guess you can to an extent. Like last week, if you did a little scouting on the referees before the game, that crew tended to throw more defensive holding, defensive pass interference flags on road teams than it did home teams. So I could do a deep dive into this officiating crew. But, yeah, I do think, and this is an unfortunate reality in today's NFL, that every reaction Monday after a big game, you have to set aside an allotment of time to talk about the officiating. Whether the Steelers win or lose this game, I guarantee you there will be an officiating segment on Monday. 412-928-9370. Brian in the car. Hello. Hey, Brian.
Hey, how you doing, Crowley?
Good morning, man.
Hey, I just wanted to tell you guys, I called last week. It is such a pleasure to hear the show this last week. You and Dom have a good connection on the air, and I agree with you getting frustrated. I figured I should let everybody know that.
Well, thank you.
When you got Harry, who's in the bathroom.
Okay, we're not gonna do any of that. I love. So here's, watch this. So Harry's a politician. Briefly, let me do my politician here. I love Dom. There's no one else I'd want to work with when my guys are out than Dom. But I love Harry, and I love Doran, and I miss them dearly. If only we could add Dom to the show permanently after he graduates, Craig. Let's do that. Let's put Dom over here in the corner, and we'll just pull his string like he's Woody from Toy Story, and he'll just fire off a hot take once every 20 or so minutes. We'll react. People will get pissed off. Josh Yowie will hate him. And then we'll put him back in the box at the end of the show. Let's go to Hal in Neville Island. Hi, Hal.
How you guys doing today?
I'm getting better as the show's going on, I feel like. It took me a while to get over the whole New Year malaise.
Hey, look, you need to get one out of your mouth. Listen, the Steelers had a chance last week to close it down,
sure.
And they didn't. They played terrible. They played terrible to the teams that they got to beat, and they played good to the teams they got to beat. I mean, come on. I mean, and it's not Tomlin that's doing it. The whole team did it. Everybody involved did it. And then so you would thank DK Metcalf for what he did that shut the Steelers receiving game. Now who are the Steelers going to throw the ball to this week?
Well, I hope that they're going to throw it to Kenneth Gainwell and Pat Freiermuth.
Well, Gainwell's the best thing they got, you know, in the free agency. But I just feel that they don't have it. They just don't have it.
Well, who do you think that falls on, though, Hal? I mean, if you don't have...
It should fall on the coaching staff.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But the standards are standards. The standard needs to change. The Steelers need to reboot. You know, who are you going to have next year as your quarterback? The 42-year-old man? It ain't happening. You know, they had a chance when Roethlisberger was there. They did zero, nothing, to get somebody.
You think they're going to win on Sunday, Hal?
Absolutely not. They're going to get their clocks clean.
Very good. Thank you, Hal. Who do you think cleaned Vecna's clock? He had that big old clock from Stranger Things.
Right.
There's something about a big grandfather clock. I got to be careful. A big grandfather clock that's scary.
Oh, absolutely. You ever see Insidious?
No.
You should watch it. It's good. Well, you don't like horror movies.
No.
But there's a shot in the movie where there's a long hallway and there's a big clock at the end and it's terrifying.
Oh, yeah. That you already got me. The other thing that gets me is little kid ghosts, like riding big wheels and stuff down hotel hallways.
No, like in The Shining.
Yes. See, now you're picking up what I'm putting down. I guess that would be the last real scary movie I saw was The Shining.
You saw The Shining. Did it turn you off to horror movies permanently?
It was just never my thing. I was just watching it with a girl, and it was her thing. And you're willing to go places that you otherwise wouldn't be willing to go if there's a chance of intercourse. Get out of here! Get the clock out of here! I don't like it. I don't like it. Also, at my grandma's house, so she grew up in Uniontown. My mom grew up in Uniontown. And anytime we'd sleep over, we'd sleep in their back bedroom. And on the wall, and this is not sacrilegious, people, I was a kid, there was a picture, a very realistic picture, a depiction of Jesus. But it was kind of creepy. And it'd be dark, and all I would hear is the clock. And it's just silence. And it's dark, and it's tick, tick, tick. Kind of a metaphor for life. Not sure where to go with things now. Throw out the phone number at 412-928-9370. Yeah, that's freaky. 412-928-9370. Does Watt need to have a legacy game? The college football transfer portal's been open, Dom, for like 2 hours. There's 1,100 scholarship players in there. Oh, my God. Including Pitt quarterback Eli Holstein. That's not a surprise. What was a surprise is that Rasheen Biles entered a couple of days ago, who's a stud and played really well. One of the few guys who did against East Carolina. I was stunned by that. Holstein, not so stunning, but 1,100 players expected to grow. That is college football in 2026. Meanwhile, Steelers and Ravens getting set to do battle for all the marbles. Winner wins the North, loser goes home. I think for Tomlin to go home, it's probably unlikely to happen either way. I think winning this game and then losing the playoff game is the best bet to get him out of town. Now Rooney's got the excuse that you don't have DK Metcalf and you hadn't had Watt. But you win this game, you'll have both guys. Chris in the truck wants to chat some ball. What's up, Chris?
Boy, I hope you had a good New Year.
It was terrible. How about you?
Yeah, about the same.
Great. What an overrated holiday. It sucks. You go out, the bars are crowded. People are acting like imbeciles, and nothing changes. You go from, what, Wednesday to Thursday? That's what happens. The New Year means nothing. Anyhow, sorry. Yeah. Go ahead, Chris.
I just think it's frustrating how it seems like the Steelers play to their opponents. Like, we lose to the Browns, but I know we'll beat the Ravens. It'll happen.
I tend to agree with you. I think that Harbaugh is more Tomlin than even Tomlin is, and I think that they're making a bad choice by playing Lamar. I get it. He's won two MVPs. He's your starter. If he's healthy, and I'm Harbaugh, and I think I could be losing my job, I would have to go with Lamar, especially with what was written in the Baltimore Sun. That being said, I am not the coach of the Ravens, and none of those things apply to me, and I think it's obvious that Snoop Huntley can play. Snoop Huntley is healthy and can run, and they're not as willing to get away from Derrick Henry when he's in there. I think the Ravens are making a grave mistake here, like I almost just did, fumbling my speech on the radio. Fan weather is brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Partly sunny today, high of 25. Low of 16, highs around 20 degrees when Steelers-Ravens kicks off on Sunday. And we're going to talk more about the game with Brian Batko from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette coming up next. Not just the game, but some of the ramifications if the Steelers lose this game. It's Fan Morning Show.